Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
All right, here we go on a Friday, brought to you by Caudill and Cadillac. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union. Fat Tony here with you, Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM, week 5 of the NFL season. Jags and the Steelers tangling this Sunday right here in Everbank. And from what I understand, Ryan O, as many tickets sold for a home game as they've had in a couple of years here.
Yeah, I guess it's the, by the way, I pulled a Martineau.
No. Martineau would be here 3 minutes from now.
Okay.
Like, 3 minutes from now, try 15.
I mean, as I was saying, Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran, O'Halloran was walking in the door. I knew you were here because I saw you chatting up Gus Bradley in the lobby about 25 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. I figured that conversation wouldn't go a half an hour, so I don't know what you've been up to, but.
No, it did. I had time to get a Dr. Pepper, and that was it.
Oh, all right. Well,
I said, yeah. I need nourishment.
If you had been late due to the Dr. Pepper, you would have been called on the carpet. No, Martineau would be texting me right about now.
On the way.
No, he'd be at the light. He'd be at the light, yep. At Hogan's. That was always his deal as far as that went.
But the ticket thing.
Yes.
So I guess it'd be the most sense the December game 2 years ago against New England.
Okay.
That surprised me a little bit. I thought the Chicago game 2 years ago where they took off some tarps would have been up there, but it's probably in the same area. But, I mean, I think it's cool. I mean, it should be a good atmosphere. I mean, there's going to be a lot of Steeler fans, but so what?
Yeah, there could be a lot of Steeler. I think there would be a ton of Jaguar fans, too.
Exactly.
I mean,
the weather's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's not going to be hot, too hot. So let's see if the home team puts out a better product.
They really do, in terms of ticket sales, they really do try to give perks to season ticket holders. I have a pair of season tickets, so I get the emails. You know, if you want to get, they either offer you discounts if you're buying a group, an extra block of tickets together, a few bucks off the ticket price, or if you just want singles just to get people in, you know what I mean? If you don't care where they are necessarily, you can get them for a really good deal too.
So did you buy any singles?
I did not. No, I will. I have my press credential. I have my two season tickets. I did not buy any singles this week. Did you? Well, there you go. So what are you looking at me?
What I did,
I bought them all. That's why we have the biggest crowd since 2012.
Well, I did stop when I did stop by the paper because I picked up my two tickets for the Cleveland game, which my parents are coming into town for. They come in for one game here, so I'm set for 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, two weeks from now. Right.
So, and it's always good to not have to pay for those.
When's the last time I've seen you, man? It's been a while since you've been in here.
I think it was the day after the Colts debacle.
Was it? Was it that Monday? Yeah. It's been almost 2 weeks. We got a lot to dig into, obviously, today. I don't want to, you know, we spent all week talking about the San Diego game, but just where things stood right now. It's been an eventful week. Obviously, Blake Bortles got his first start, made some more roster moves once again. What did you think about just the starting debut of Blake?
I think it was is really good. You know, there's going to be some turnovers, which is fine. I mean, I didn't have a problem with the last interception because you're trying to make something happen. It's a two touchdown game, and in the first one, Cecil came up lame. Shouldn't have been on the field. He said that, but you see the way that for. You always say Bortles is a big guy. He moves around. But until you really see it, you see how effortless it is, him getting out of the pocket by design, him extending the plays. And like Dick LeBeau, the Steelers defensive coordinator, told the Pittsburgh media yesterday, the play where he spun around, he goes, he scrambled into the pressure and still came out of it. So great awareness. And, you know, by all accounts, it seemed like he got everybody in the right spot. You didn't see a lot of procedure stuff, which was a positive sign.
You also didn't see any kind of drastic improvement on the defensive side of the football, although there are a few bright spots you could pick. I feel like I've had to qualify this every time I've said this week because some, you know, people look at the end result of the game. They lose big once again, and, you know, they're on pace to give up the most points and most yards in league history. I heard Prosser say the other day, and I'm going to take him at his word because I have not bothered to confirm that, by the way. So I've quoted Jeff on that all week. But
points is true.
Points, yeah. Not yards?
I'm not sure on yards.
All right, anyway, regardless, it's bad, right? It hasn't been good. But the turnovers, they were able to hold them to field goals. I thought that was a positive. You know, anytime you're in that quick change, you're not expecting to be out there, and you pretty much stop them cold at that point. You're already in field goal range.
Yeah, and you know, I thought after that first three and out, I thought they're gonna like dump Gatorade on Gus. They're running off the field so excited. But okay, you know, everybody points to the run defense. Well, if you take a small positive out of that, San Diego came into that game not being able to run it, and they left not being able to run it. Okay, that's fine. But I don't buy the fact that this defensive front is playing so spectacular.
He gave up
so many rush yards the first three games.
The week before, he ran, Donald Brown ran 31 times for 62 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the highest total of carries that anyone's ever had to have that low. It just happened at Matt Asiata, who you saw last night. Last year had like 31 carries for 50 yards at the end of the season. But it doesn't happen too often. They've struggled to run the football. Obviously, they're missing Danny Woodhead as well, who puts a lot of pressure on the defense, even when he's not carrying the football.
Yeah, and I looked this up the other night. San Diego had 21 carries. 8 came on those last two drives where they're just milking the clock. So they didn't try to run it. And when you have that guy passing and against that team who's trying to cover, I wouldn't even try to run it that much.
Pitch and catch. What they did was they just dumped it down to Brandon Oliver and Donald Brown, but that was the running game. You know, just let's let the rush come in a little bit and pass it right past them.
Yeah, and elsewhere on this defense is the concern should be about the younger guys. You don't see them getting better. Not making a big play. You know, everybody make a third down stop here and there, but it seems like it's the same thing over and over. It's just different people busting a coverage, missing it. You know, they tackle better, but just the same big play stuff is happening every week.
Who's on the hottest seat right now on the defense? When you could be, obviously, Winston Guy got run out. I mean, you know, he came in for one play, and once again, lack of discipline, looking in the wrong spot, just gets burned for a 43-yard touchdown.
I mean, hot seat is, it shows you the lack of depth on this roster. You have to search a little bit because would you say Paul Posluszny can play better? Yeah. Okay. But if you're going to sit him, you're not going to put, who are you going to put in?
I can't imagine that he is on a hot seat.
And then on the defensive line, you're playing all 8 guys anyways. There's no difference there. If you want to give another guy a shot, at what point do you say to Geno Hayes, your role is limited, and you give Telvin Smith more responsibility? Because Telvin's snaps actually went down last week because Geno played a lot nickel. So that's one guy. I think this is a hell of an opportunity for Demetrius McCray. If he can play well this week, maybe he can start splitting time with Gratz. Let's face it, Dwayne wasn't very good before he got hurt.
No, and which is real. And
that's disappointing.
It's disappointing, and it's also surprising to me. I just thought he had the look about him. You know, the preseason you can get fooled by the quality of competition. You can get fooled going up against your own guys, but there was just a swagger and a way he carried himself and the plays that he was consistently making and just the air about him that I felt this guy was ready to really blossom in year two.
Yeah, and I think inside this team, they think he is a part of the future, but not as a one. I think they ideally want to move him into the slot next year, be a third guy. Do you even do that now? I mean, I have questions of what kind of part of the future he is.
Which is a shame, you know.
He's a third round pick.
Right. He's a third round pick. And it's great if you can hit on your seventh round pick in McCray, but that should be, you would hope that's as a supplement to the guy that you nailed in the third round, because this team has so many holes that you could have thrown a dart at a lot of positions, you think, and brought in the guy that could help this football team.
And also, if they had to do it over again, I mean, hindsight classic, is if they thought Gratz would have leveled off / regressed, would they have taken Aaron Colvin? Or would they have said, okay, we got to take a corner that can play right now?
Right.
I mean, at the time, that pick raised an eyebrow. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. If he comes in and be the number two guy, great, but
He ends up being a good player and a star, I mean, you do have to have a bit of a long-term approach.
Well, especially here, yeah.
And to me, the thing I've been a little critical this week, or at least questioning, has been more why Tony made the point that they have supplemented this team with some veterans on defense. Maybe they're just not playing as well as we hope, but I just feel like there could have been more free agent money spent on guys that, I'm not talking about big, like, you know, anchor type contracts are going to weigh you down, but guys that can come in the short term that have proven themselves in the National Football League, at least to a higher degree than the unknown commodity that rookies are.
I mean, we don't have to say this is how they should have allocated their money, because they spent money and they still have plenty left. there had to be somebody at linebacker out there in free agency.
That's what I'm saying. And I don't know the name. I don't know who the guy is right now. I mean, we can go back and look at the free agent list. You would think there's somebody out there. And, you know, people say, well, you got to build through the draft. Got to build through the draft. Fine. Well, that doesn't keep you from doing that. You do that. And they've churned the bottom of this roster heavily already. If one of those guys who's now gone was never here to begin with, you wouldn't have missed him.
For Sunday Story, did some research. The Jaguars last week, of the 32 starting defenses, they were the only team in the league that didn't have one of their own first-round picks starting.
On defense.
Only team
in the whole league.
And then they were the second lowest total of three of their own draft choices, period. Only Indianapolis had fewer. You look at other teams, half the teams had six or more. Okay, that means the cupboard was better when they got here, but also they've concentrated on offense in the draft this year. So they need some of the guys they drafted to start earning those spots. And this defense, I don't see a possible scenario outside of five turnovers that the Steelers can be stopped on Sunday.
Does that mean you think this team can't win on Sunday, or does that mean that barring something fluky like that happening, you're going to have to outscore them 45-38?
Yes, that's how they would win the game.
Right, if they are equally
straight
unstoppable.
Up, yeah.
Right, because you know Pittsburgh's been pretty mediocre on that side of the football, on the defensive side of the football. But Antonio Brown, and I guess you could throw Jordy Nelson in this conversation too, but he's one of the top receivers in the league based on just the way he's performed in the first month. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Le'Veon Bell, and it's pick your poison. We know tight ends have killed this team for a long time. Heath Miller had a big game last week. And, you know, Roethlisberger is who he is. He's a tough guy to corral in the backfield, much like, you know, we've heard all the comparisons with Ian Blake. And that's why you get excited about him, because he is a tough guy. He extends the play, and he makes things happen outside the pocket.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and Miller had 10 catches last week, and they use him a little differently. I mean, he's out wide. So I asked Gus this the other day, okay, how do you react? Do you put a linebacker way out there that's probably not comfortable? Do you throw an extra corner on the field? So see how that matchup develops. And if I'm the Steelers, I put Antonio Brown and Demetrius McCray and say, stop him.
All day. Well, it's not like anybody in the league is stopping that guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Right. And with the way the league is set up to slant towards the passing game anyway, when you've got a guy like that going up against a secondary that's getting worked.
Yeah. And if I'm the Jags, I go out of character, and I maybe shadow Alan Ball a little bit. Not a great player by all means, but he's probably the best corner you got. And I would, early in the game, I'd have him follow Brown, except for inside. So
would you do that, or would you put your second best corner on and double him over the top every time? You know, there's different schools of thought on that. Sometimes you put your top guy one-on-one, or do you take the top guy and put him on the number two guy, figuring he'll have a little bit more success there, and you constantly double the one?
Yeah, I mean, if there's two tight ends, do you have to, like, where do you put your safety? Do you have to keep one of your safeties on a tight end? So, I mean, I've always been the thing that I would always be a guy that put my best guy that I have available on their best guy. And see what happens.
All right, 641-1010 if you want to get in today. We hope you do. Share with us your thoughts on the Jags' chances going up against Pittsburgh this week. In fact, that's our Tom Bush Family Dealership's typical Friday fan feedback spotlight, asking you for the three keys to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars. If they're going to pull out the win this week, what are the three areas that they really need to excel in or slow Pittsburgh down in? However you want to look at it, you can post on the Facebook page, facebook.com/JaguarsToday. You can also tweet us at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren as well. We'll take your calls. We'll discuss where this team's going. Quarter poll behind us, 0-4. Season starts new this Sunday at 1 o'clock. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, everything you need to know about your Jacksonville Jaguars. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Bare Naked Ladies. Easy. It's got to be about the pool. No? Pool? I almost called you Donna Murphy. Tony had just said Donna Murphy's name on the break. I just almost called you Murphy, Lauren.
That's okay. I'll always take that as flattering.
If I call her Lauren, it would be a compliment either way.
Oh, that's
so
sweet.
Does it have anything to do with the
pool? No, it does not.
Damn.
Although I did get to put my feet in the pool last Sunday morning.
That's right, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute.
Well, not last Sunday, 2 weeks ago, I guess.
No. Oh, okay.
Last home game.
What?
Is what I mean.
I was just accepting. I was like, that's right, you did. Absolutely. I remember that clearly.
Last time we were home. Same difference.
Dangling your toes in the pool. Who knows where you'll pop up this week. Look for Lauren outside gate one, somewhere in that vicinity, if you're tailgating.
Delivering you food at some point.
Yeah, and if you guys are cooking it, well, you know, as I thought about it, Lauren.
Uh-oh.
Anybody who doesn't like me out there could easily pass some food along to you and do something not untoward.
My good friends are not going to do that to you.
Oh, these are your good friends? Well,
these are my now good friends. Absolutely.
Okay, well, those folks, since I blindly ate their food and seem to have come through okay, I think I'm okay. I feel fine with that, but I'm
I already
got
the menu emailed to me.
Oh, you did? Excellent. I don't know if I want to, you know, expand my horizons is my point. I think I'll stick with what's worked, and we'll go from there as we'll be out there. The Publix Tailgate Show countdown to kickoff and all that starting at 10 o'clock just inside gate one. J.P. Shadrick, myself, and a cast of dozens or close to it on Sunday with a 1 o'clock kickoff with the Jags and the Pittsburgh Steelers. What do you make of the Justin Blackmon news this week?
Nothing.
We really do need a win. We got the full bore eye roll coupled with the dismissive hand wave from Ryan O'Halloran. Nothing. You don't think there's any? I mean, no hope that he's ever.
He's not gonna play here again.
Ever.
I don't think so.
By choice of the Jags? I mean,
Jags. Because you can't count on him.
Well, I understand you can't count on him. Yeah. But, well, if that's the case, then why still roster him? If you don't – that.
Well, I think they're doing is I think they're being humane.
Really?
Yeah.
So you don't think no matter what, if he goes through rehab, clean bill of health, does everything he needs to, there's no chance for him to come back here?
Well, I don't
– I'm just saying –
I'm sure there could be – I mean, if you want to put a percentage on it, I'm sure you could say is – I don't see what these guys gain by bringing him back into this locker room for what would be a third time.
Potentially a Pro Bowl caliber talent.
Well, that's where we do disagree on that one. I don't think he plays here. I think once they feel like, I mean, this organization wants to see him get well as a human being, and then they'll move on, I think.
And then get a six-round pick for? I mean, honestly, because...
Well, I don't think he has any trade value, right?
I don't know. I mean, if he comes through... If that's really... I'd be shocked. And maybe you're right. You talk to these folks behind the scenes a lot. I understand. But I'd be shocked if you're carrying him with no end game other than you're doing it for humanitarian reasons. It just maybe because I'm jaded that that's not how professional sports works. That, you know... You've got a guy who's clearly let you down in several capacities. What does he gain from continuing to be on the suspended list, technically on the Jaguar, not on the active roster, but technically on the team?
Well, their on-the-record stance on that question has been, well, we're not. It doesn't make any difference. They're not paying him.
Oh, I get that.
So that's
But if there's nothing to be gained at the end from it, I mean, if you don't think you can get something either for yourself or from someone else for them to take a chance on him, there also then would be no difference in letting him go other than to step out of character for just about every professional sports organization in the world and just do it simply because we really care about whether this guy comes along or not. Because, put it this way, do you think if this guy were the 51st man out of 53 on the roster that he'd still be in this position? To me, it's his talent is the only reason that he's still in this situation.
Hmm.
What do you think? Disagree?
Yeah, I mean, if I were them, I would have cut him already.
Right, but they haven't.
Yeah.
So and that's my point, is that what is different about him? If they really don't feel like there's an end game where he is a benefit to them, or they can't trust him enough to bring him back in under any conditions,
then they should. Then from their standpoint, is maybe they hang on to him to see if they can get something for him once he's reinstated. But if I'm a team, do I touch it? No way.
I don't know. T teams. We all say that. We said that about Mike Vick, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I understand the quarterback position,
if he's a free agent, somebody would.
Okay, I mean, if you're a team, San Francisco gave a six-round pick for Blaine Gabbert, for goodness sakes.
San Francisco or Seattle or one of these teams whose roster is in a really good spot, you got to give up a seventh-round pick to go get a guy like that. I think that he's worth that to one of those teams.
He's worth bringing him in for the summer just in camp and see if he can keep his act together.
Right. I mean, he is a guy that's averaging almost 14 yards a catch in the NFL. And that's in his first two seasons with Chad Henne and Blaine Gabbert throwing him the football. I mean, there is something there. With
had
Justin Blackman.
A 200-yard receiving game in the National Football League. You know, I mean, I don't think that was by accident. I may be off on the top end range of his talent, but I think you underestimate, in my opinion, how good he potentially could be if he were right. You know, mentally, personally, all that stuff.
Oh well, I mean, minimum 2016.
Really.
I mean, because if the new drug policy had impacted his status, we would have found out about it.
But it wouldn't, because all of his stuff happened before the start of this league.
So you got the arrest, which is still there. Who knows how many tests he failed? Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, I applaud him for seeing the light.
Yeah. I don't know if he has or not. He may be just being pragmatic and saying, hey, you know what? I can't make this kind of money anywhere else for whatever reason. But you look at Josh Gordon. I mean, Josh Gordon had a suspension reduced, but he's got a DUI pending on top of that as well. These guys ultimately, and maybe you're right, maybe it's a longer time frame than I think, but these guys ultimately seem to all get cleared and get back in the NFL, even if they're out for a couple years. With Tanner Jackson, served a 2-year suspension, basically.
Yep.
Had the opportunity to come back. Did he come back? Did he ever play again in the National Football League, or did he get cut?
No, he got cut. He didn't get the opportunity to come back and play at all.
All right. Well, regardless.
He was in a camp with somebody this year. He got back into camp, and then he got released again. And that may have
been.
Didn't
the Redskins release him the day after his suspension expired?
Something like that, yeah. Something like that.
So you think that would be the situation here? Like they would wait to that the only, in your opinion, the only possible end game then would be, just based on what you're expressing, is all right, when he gets reactivated, we'll shop him around. If we get nothing, then that's it. Wash our hands of him.
That's what I would do. I'm not sure what the team's going to do.
That's what you. But what do you think? I mean,
no. That's what I think they absolutely. That's what I think they. I think that's the most likely scenario.
Huh. All right. I wouldn't say it's likely that he ever suits up in the National Football League again. But I will say,
because this is a, I'll interrupt you, because this is a guy who hasn't been able to go 6 to 12 months without making a mistake.
Oh, I understand.
So that's why you
I understand. And so I don't think, but I'm just playing the hypothetical game. Let's say he goes into rehab and he's sincere, you know, and he has finally seen the light and he gets his act cleaned up and he goes to the NFL and petitions for reinstatement. He has to go through whatever hoops he has to jump through and he clears every hurdle. At some point, guy's still, what, is he 24 years old right now? Something like that?
Yeah. I mean, the NFL landscape is completely different than it was with other guys that we've seen going through similar situations. You know, it's not the NFL landscape of Chris Carter and Jimmy Smith where there's no real consequences to giving a guy another shot. He's not so far along in a program when you get him that the next one could cost him his career. The NFL, the way that it's put together now, the next one could be the last one.
Isn't the new policy, though, and I'm not positive about this, maybe you know better than I do, Ryan, isn't the new policy, can't you get out of the program? Like, if you have enough good behavior time, can't you eventually get out? Isn't that one of the things I know they discussed?
I'm not familiar with the new plan because it hasn't come up in terms of these guys. Because the only question I had is, how does it impact Ace Sanders' status? And they said that it didn't.
No, I understand it didn't. But
so I didn't really look at it after that.
All right, let's go to the line. 641-1010. DJ going to be up first today on a Cardinal and Cadillac Friday on Jaguars today. Hi, DJ. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
Hey, listen, man. To tell you the truth, Jaguars can't win this game tomorrow. Can't win that game Sunday. They have a running game, man.
Okay.
All right.
Running game is like non-existent. I mean, you need
true.
I mean, I mean, I believe they're still kicking themselves because they didn't draft Eddie Lacy. Man, you see that kid last night? That's what they're missing. They don't have it.
I don't think they're kicking themselves for not drafting a running back last year with their first pick in the, or I guess they could have taken him with the second pick in the draft.
Instead of Ciprian, yeah.
Right. They could have taken him instead of either one of those guys. Yeah, you could have got him in the second round. I don't think any team that is in a start over mode is going to spend an early pick on a running back, no matter how good he is.
Yeah, because by the time you become remotely competitive, that guy will be used up.
Right. So. I mean, what would Eddie Lacy have been doing behind this offensive line? Now, granted, Green Bay at times has had a pretty weak offensive line. He did a lot of work last night on his own. But he also, you know, you're looking at Eddie Lacy when Eddie Lacy's on. What about the first few weeks of the season? You'd be saying the same thing about the running game as you were saying about the Jags running game through 4 weeks.
Sure. I think there is something to be said, though, when you look at the Jaguars offense as a whole right now. And we talked about this early in the week, Mike, but I thought that the running game, I didn't think it was good at any point against San Diego. I thought it was effective in the first half against San Diego. It was allowing them to do what they wanted to on offense for a half of football. And in the second half, they got behind by so much that it didn't matter if the running game was going to be effective anymore. But the offensive line, to me, feels like it's coming together a little bit here in the last couple of weeks. The wide receivers are young. You have a rookie quarterback that's in there playing now in Blake Bortles. Is the running back position, when everything else is developing around this team, going to be the thing that holds this offense back from being as effective as it needs to be? I do think that that's a legitimate question, because I'm not sure Gerhardt and Robinson can be the answer at the NFL level.
No, but I think you can find, once you feel like you're starting to get the team built around, you know, other things filled, I think you can find running backs every year, just about. I mean, I'm sure there are a few bad years in the NFL. You can pluck a guy, and if he's any good, typically he comes in and performs immediately for you, you know? There's a big clamoring, not a big, there's somewhat of a Twitter clamoring for Todd Gurley to come in here. Let's say they had the first overall pick.
Acknowledge my eye roll.
I feel like you should, because I feel like that's half my job when you're here, is to acknowledge your eye rolls.
On this Jaguars running game, Tony, you're right in terms of it didn't. Progress now can be measured by whether they didn't embarrass themselves.
Sure.
So they got a couple of third and short conversions. If I'm the Jags, I wouldn't even try and run it for one game. I would just throw a bunch of screen, you know, maybe a couple runs just to keep them a little honest. But, you know, there's just too many 2 and 3 yard runs on first and 10 that keep, you know, they need to get more runs if they want to run it, to keep them on schedule, get them in the second and 5 second and four, because there's been way too many lost yardages where you know, they say they're making progress, but, you know, 2 weeks ago, Bortles had 50 of the 103 yards.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
They had 57 of their 80, whatever, in the first half of in the game against San Diego. And even with that, you're right. I mean, looking at the numbers for Blake Bortles in the first half of that game, I mean, he was facing 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 13. And he was able to overcome those things throughout the first half because he looks like he's going to be a pretty good player. But those are the positions that he was being put in. They just happened to get a couple 10-yard bursts there in the first half. That yardage that they haven't gotten at all out of the running game, they got a little bit in the first half against San Diego.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Richard, you're up next on Jaguars Today. How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. Hey, I was listening to the information you all been talking about on the running game. Is it possible that if we are in the top five of drafting for next year, will we be looking to get Gurley from Georgia?
They told you.
No. You know, these guys got to go defense hard in the draft the first 3 or 4 rounds. And also, as much as Gurley's a tremendous college player, you know, if you are a team that is a playoff contender and your running back's banged up and you're drafting at 28, do you trade up to 22 and draft Todd Gurley? That's something you consider. If you're a team like the Jags who are going to be drafted second, no.
You got Oakland pretty much locked in for an 0-16 this year? Or?
Well, it's very difficult to go 0-16. I would say, did they win one?
I understand people watch, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Okay, Todd Gurley arguably is the best running back in college that we've seen since when? I don't know. Let's maybe
Trent Richardson.
Mark Ingram.
Trent was really good at Alabama. Oh,
boy, Todd Gurley is.
I know, but
to me, he's so much more explosive though than those guys.
Trent was really explosive. I mean, at Alabama, he was all of those things, and it just disappeared when he got to the league.
Again, I'm playing devil's advocate here.
I don't think
you're taking a running back of the top five picks in the draft in today's NFL, practically, period.
If you want to go all the way back to AP, I'm okay.
All right, let's say you did. Let's say you thought he was an Adrian Peterson type talent. And I really don't. I think AP, it's we're quick to label people. If you knew you were getting Adrian Peterson, would it be worth taking him in the top five picks of the draft?
I'd still say no.
I would disagree on. Mm-hmm. But that's the question. You know, is Todd Gurley really that, you know, all-time great caliber player?
I think what it would mean as a GM would be you would be more willing to trade up from the teens
to grab that guy in that range. Yeah, or if you're one of those teams that is, you know, a typical 10-win team and you have a spate of injuries and you fall 1 year to 4-12, you know what I mean? And
you
pop in there unexpectedly and maybe you do something like that. But look, there's going to be a lot of that discussion if the running game continues at this pace. But you look across the National Football League, man, there's so many rookie runners that come in from every round. Storm Johnson may turn out to be their guy. I mean, he may. We don't know. As a matter of fact, I believe we've got who's up next on the line? Sonny wants to talk about Storm Johnson. Hey, Sonny, how are you?
All right. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Good.
Hey, I guess my question was, you know, you said on Storm Johnson, would he have a little bit of an advantage having played in college with Blake? Or what, you know, that's just maybe like my assumption, but I would think maybe, you know, they're familiar with each other, and that might actually help them out a little bit. And then I guess my next question would be, why haven't they kind of gotten him more involved? I know he's a little banged up there, but can we see more of him, or what do you guys think?
Sure.
Both things on Storm. Doesn't make a difference. I mean, if he was a receiver or a tight end, it may help a little bit. He knows how to maybe extend his route when Bortles is running around, but his running back, probably not. Next in line, he missed the first two games with an ankle. Let's face it, I mean, he leveled off in camp. So he was going to be fourth on that depth chart at tailback. He was active last week, didn't play. So, I mean, a lot of these guys who are backups could get a chance if this team has the ball more. But, you know, they don't have it a lot. So you don't need that third tailback because your two guys are gassed after a 15-play drive.
No, but I do think there's a chance at some point in the season, whether it's been...
Oh, he'll play.
It's about being gassed or not, that if you're just ineffective, I think he'll get a chance to show it. And look, late-round picks, undrafted guys, hit at that position, I think, anecdotally at least, and I probably the numbers would back it up almost more than any position in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, when he was active against San Diego, I was thinking, okay, maybe they want to see what he can do.
Right.
He doesn't play.
Right.
So what's the angle there? Because, like you said, he can't do any worse.
Right, as of right now. Mm-hmm. Look, it doesn't all have to happen the first game he's active either. You look at the example, a different position. But you look at Jarius Wright of the Vikings, right? He's been on that roster for a couple of years, never really done anything. He played with Bridgewater throughout the summer, you know, and I get it, it's a receiver, but all of a sudden, he looks like their best playmaking receiver over the last couple of weeks that nobody looked really good last night. You know what I mean? I mean, just because you sit there and you've done nothing up to a certain point, sometimes it takes the right opportunity to come along for you to show what you've got.
And here, Exhibit A is Allen Hurns, who got all those reps in the summer.
Yeah.
Because there was nobody else out there.
Right.
So he was, you know, there is something to be said for that chemistry.
All right. We'll take a break. I agree with you, though. The fact that he played with Blake, maybe there's a slight edge that, you know, Blake would trust him in pass protection or something. You know what I mean? But not enough that it would get him on the field ahead of somebody else just because he played with Blake at UCF.
Not enough reason for why they drafted him.
641-1010 is the number if you'd like to get on board. It's a call, Nolan Cadillac Friday. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Would you say, Tony, that when Shinedown covered this song by Lynyrd Skynyrd, that they did anything different with the song?
Not much.
You know what I mean? Like when sometimes if you redo a song, remake a song, cover a song, you put a little twist on it, right? And it just sounds different.
Sure.
Sounds like they're trying to do Skynyrd's version of Simple Man, which is a great version. It's a great song.
No doubt.
You know where I'm going.
No, I know exactly where you're
just
going.
Just going to leave it alone, right? How anybody could prefer that over the original. All right, so the first one was easy. This is simple. I have no idea why that's the theme, but that's the theme, right? Easy, simple. What the keys to victory are three simple things.
Yes.
Offense, defense, special teams.
Simple things. Exactly. Simple thing. Keep the game plan pretty simple. Play defense. Do your job. Get out of there with a freaking victory. That's all
Form
I need.
Tackle. Right?
Or, yeah, limit the missed tackles. They were better last week, but still, get rid of those. Cover your guy.
Score more points than the opposition.
Catch the ball. Don't fall down. Just keep
Beat
it simple.
Beat those stinking Steelers.
Don't fall. If you do catch it, yeah. Catch it on the first try.
Run into the end zone when you catch the ball.
Right at the end zone.
Protect
yard
the quarterback.
Away.
You know, it's
things.
Simple.
Throw the ball to your teammate.
Doesn't it sound easy?
No, it sounds very easy the way that you're putting it. Look,
Thank you. I talked
about this early in the week. This Jaguar team, with all the problems that they're having on defense, they can't run the ball right now. They have an offense that's trying to come together with a rookie quarterback making his first home start. That wouldn't even be the strangest win for the Jaguars in this series history against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, they have found ways to win games against the Steelers that really they probably had no business winning at the time. They beat an eventual Super Bowl champion Steelers team here at home in 1995 for their first ever home win. They beat the crap out of that team that was coming off a Super Bowl in 1996 coming here for opening day. I mean, there have been times where the Jags have no business beating a Steelers team that was much better than the one that is coming in right now.
Right, and I'm with you, and history says that, but what does that have to do with this? You know what I mean? And I'm not dismissing that, but those players aren't playing now. It's not the same team. It's not the same circumstance. How is this team that can't stop the pass going to contend with Antonio Brown and with Ben Roethlisberger throwing the football when he's got an effective running game going as well? Maybe Ryan's right. Maybe 45-38 is the only way they take it. By the way, Jaguar fans would take that.
That'd be awesome.
It would actually be preferable, right? 10-9 or 45-38.
Jaguar fans may take a 45-38 loss.
Nobody wants to take a loss ahead of time, but yeah. I mean, I would understand that.
They'd happily score 38. They'd be furious if this team gave up 45 again. I mean,
Would they be furious or would they be like...
Yes.
I guess.
It's already where the spotlight is, and if they're going to let the Steeler team come into their home field, and I get it. The offense was much better. They moved the ball.
Is it the 45 number, though? What if it's 38-35? You know, is it the 45? I mean, because they've got to be used to it. They're not going to be happy about it, but are you going to be furious about something that you should have almost come to expect? Were you furious in week five last year? I'm not saying they were happy. Jaguar fans weren't happy. But didn't you almost get conditioned to, like, this is what it's going to be, right? And then if you had put up a 30 spot of your own and say, oh, wait a minute, what happened? Why can't we get that every week? This toe-to-toe, that's what we want. I think that would be more palatable, at least, than what we've had up to this point, right?
No doubt it's more palatable than what they've had to this point.
Right. What's to blame? We sit here and you look at the quarterback position. You feel like, all right, they've upgraded the quarterback position. All right, but he's on the field right now. I think Blake Bortles playing this week will be playing better quarterback than anything we've seen for the last year plus, right? I mean, you take him over anything that Blaine Gabbert or Chad Henne. Now, Henne had a game here or there where he was very good. But for the most part, they've upgraded that position. And you look and say, okay, there are spots on the roster that I see ready to grow. But you look at, you know, whether it's the defensive side, whether it's the lack of being able to run the football, whatever it is, the results from exactly a year ago are just strikingly similar to what they are now. Mm-hmm. Why hasn't there been seemingly progress on the results end? There may be some progress spots on the roster where you say, we're going to grow this and grow this and grow this, and it's going to be great for the future. But a year is a long time in the NFL to not show, at least on the field, any progress.
Yeah, I mean, it's time to start thinking, okay, what is going on? And, you know, on defense, it's astonishing how bad they are right now, numbers-wise. You know, a team that's an underdog needs to get takeaways. They haven't got one in 10 quarters. You know, they need to be able to tackle. They missed 29 tackles in weeks 2 and 3.
Go back to the takeaways for a second, okay? A couple weeks ago, he said, all right, you're not getting to the quarterback. Let's see a little bit more pressure. I mean, what do you have to lose, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they tried that. I think, against San Diego. There were more instances where it looked to me like they were sending five or six guys. San Diego did a good job picking that up, and when you got a quarterback like Phillip Rivers, he's going to pick you apart in that scenario. If you do that to Pittsburgh and you don't get to Roethlisberger, it's going to be the same thing. Would you try to pressure more, or would you play coverage?
Well, I always want to see them pressure more, because what you're doing right now is not working either.
You're right. You're already getting beat. You're already giving up over 30 points every week as it is.
Yeah. So that's, you know, and you see him sprinkle a little five. Well, the reason most of the time that fifth guy is coming is because back's staying in. So it's just almost like a blitz with an asterisk. You know, so how about some more six-man pressures? I'd throw in a seven-man every once in a while, you know, because you're 0-4. It's not possible to be 0-8 right now. You know, you played four games, so it can't get any worse. So think outside the box a little bit. You know, you don't see Jonathan Cyprian blitzing. You know, Will Blackman's blitz maybe once or twice from the slot. Try different things early in a game to see if you can get away with it, and B, also just make sure the offense has to think about something with this Jaguar defense.
Right. And look, typically, if a veteran quarterback with any degree of accuracy, they love it when you blitz them. But I'd rather, I think right now, take my chances with the Jags covering guys within a 10-yard area by forcing quarterbacks to go to the hot read than just letting them sit back there and turn their head and turn their head and turn their head and go through their progressions as they look down the field.
And run those deep scissor routes, which, I mean, it's a zone buster. I mean, and that's what teams are doing against this Jaguar team right now, and they haven't figured out some way to defend it yet. So until they do, you have to figure out some way to take that play out of the opposing team's arsenal, and maybe pressure is the way to do that.
I had the Jaguars blitzing only 4 out of 43 times against San Diego. I was surprised it was that few, because it looked like they had more guys at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
So they probably backed some guys up. So that's 9.3%. They had 2 5-man and 2 6-man.
So only four times were they sent as many as five guys.
Yeah.
That's not much at all.
One of them was the touchdown to Floyd, right?
Rivers was 4 of 4, 96 yards, 2 touchdowns.
I don't have a problem with that, though, because you forced a quarterback to make a perfect pass. He did it. It's going to happen sometimes like that in the NFL. I thought Demetrius McCray was in good position on that play.
Yeah, I mean, because last year, I mean, for the season right now, they're around 11 to 12%. Last year, they were an 18%, and we never thought they sent pressure at all.
Right.
So, I mean, I would just, you know, at some point, you have to think outside the box. And let's say, here's the thing about a game plan. You can always change it. You know, let's say you send a bunch of pressures early in the game, and Roethlisberger just slices and dices you. Okay, come back, start playing coverage a little.
Are they getting out-coached at halftime?
The adjustment thing has always been something that I have battled with, whether it makes a difference. I mean, I think the big reason the Jaguars are losing games right now, they just don't have enough talent.
So are they getting, is it then that as the game wears on, that's going to show up more and more because if you don't have talent on the front line, your depth is not going to be, is even going to be worse. And, or is it, I mean, because they certainly came out and you felt pretty good going into halftime. It wasn't a perfect half. And look, it wasn't 14 to nothing. It was 17-14 San Diego, but you were in it. You were trading punches. You had put the defense in a bad spot or two, and they had done okay. It was a couple of big plays, and you felt, man, if you can tamp that down a little bit, we got a chance to make this a four-quarter game, and then it was really nothing.
Yeah, where I would love to be behind closed doors is during the week and see where the adjustments are happening then. Halftime, you know, all these adjustments are happening in game. Did San Diego do a ton of different things in the second half? Probably not. They maybe, like, what they did is they used their screen game more because it was available. So, you know, this is a defense here. They don't run a lot of coverages. So it's not because of confusion that guys are running free. So it's because they're not good enough.
Is it not because of confusion? I mean, Winston guy, did he get cut because he wasn't good enough, or did he get cut because he wasn't mentally good enough? Like, he wasn't disciplined enough mentally that I don't know whether it's confusion or not, and we've gone back over the last few weeks, opening drive against Indy. He's looking in the wrong spot. They convert that first third down, and instead of stopping him on a quick three and out, they go down and get points on the board. Comes in again, and it's the same thing this week. So
I just don't think he's very good. So, I mean,
but isn't that's got to be magnified by him not taking advantage? Winston guy to me looks like a guy that if he knew where to put himself in the right position, I think he's better than what he showed the first 4 weeks of the season. I think the big thing that got him released from this roster was he just kept making the same kind of mental mistakes over and over. You disagree?
Well, I think the touchdown against San Diego, he just got, you know, is if you get beat on a double move, is that mental or physical?
I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think he was playing out of position, and it showed. And, you know, I don't think they're going to miss him this week.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
This date in football history brought to you all week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, and actually a ton happened. Why can't this happen in the summer, Tony? maybe we go with a new feature during the summer next year.
They didn't play football in the summer.
No, I understand. We learned there were some lean days when it came to football history throughout the course of the summer. On this date in football history, that doesn't get much bigger than this, in 1920, October 3rd, 1920, the Dayton Triangles beat the Columbus Panhandles, and that was a 14-0 score. The Rock Island Independents beat the Muncie Flyers 45-0. Those were the first ever games between NFL clubs. At the time, they were American Pro Football Association clubs, but clubs that would go on to form the NFL. Those were the first games, basically NFL games, ever played. That's a pretty historic endeavor. 1989, Art Shell became the first African-American head coach in the modern NFL when he took over the L.A. Raiders. And as I see that, I have to question, was there an African-American coach in the pre-modern NFL? I really wonder, because
I think
most people have no idea that when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball, he rebroke the color barrier because there were African-American players, a handful of them, that played in the 1800s in the National League. But it didn't stay permanently broken. In 1995, all hell broke loose as O.J. Simpson was acquitted of the 1994 murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. Simpson later found liable in a civil trial. Where were you when the O.J. verdict? Do you remember it?
Yes.
Where were you?
I was at a Kansas State football press conference. We were waiting for it to begin, and it was on the TVs in the team room. So I think it was a Tuesday afternoon.
Tuesday. Was it a Tuesday? Okay.
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Do you remember where you were, Tony, when the verdict came down?
I was at home watching.
You watched it?
Yeah.
I was in a mass communications class at Flagler. And that was like, we're going to, today in mass communications, we're going to watch this verdict. And it was just absurd. I mean, stunningly absurd, shockingly absurd. But that's what it was. And we all know where it went from there. OJ, I don't really wonder that much what he's up to in prison these days. You see those stories like OJ throwing parties in his cell. He had a Super Bowl party in his cell and
good
stuff
for
like
OJ.
That. Whatever.
He's finally where he belongs. Behind
this
bars.
Date in football history brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're just in the market for a family dentist, maybe you'd like to check out the custom-fitted Stop Snoring Mouth Guard that you've been hearing about. It is a revelation for snorers and for their spouses and significant others. 620-9225, a certified Invisalign provider as well for Dr. McCall. JamesJMcCall.com is where you can get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
The NFL Draft will not be at Radio City Music Hall in New York City next year. Instead, the 2015 NFL Draft will be in Chicago, Illinois. The dates for the draft have been announced as well. Remember those 2 extra weeks that everyone was complaining about this year leading up to the NFL Draft? Good news first, there will not be those 2 extra weeks. Bad news, if you choose to view it that way, the draft will still be a week later than it usually is, so basically the league split the difference.
But it won't step on the Players' Championship next year.
No, it will not. The draft next year will be May 30th through April 2nd in Chicago. Make your draft plans accordingly.
What are you laughing at over here? We on 1010XL cover both events, and it's nice to have a separate week.
Well, we got rookie camp.
Yeah.
I'll cover rookie camp.
We'll cover that, too.
Camp.
But it's not as... Put it this way, when the first day of the Players' Championship is taking place and that night is the first round of the draft, it takes a little bit of the spotlight away from the players. I enjoy the players.
No doubt at all. Arizona Cardinals quarterback Carson Palmer still isn't ready to return from his shoulder injury. Palmer visited a spine specialist on Wednesday. He was diagnosed with an axillary nerve contusion in his shoulder, and the timetable for his return is whatever that nerve decides the timetable for his return is. Palmer basically said that the nerve will heal when it heals. There's no way of knowing when that might be. In the meantime, Drew Stanton remains the card starter, and week five of the NFL season got underway last night with Green Bay crushing division rival Minnesota 42-10. Packers running back Eddie Lacy had his first big game of the year, rushing for 105 yards and two touchdowns in the win, while one-time first-round draft pick Christian Ponder continued to show why he had fallen to third on the Vikings depth chart, completing 22 of 44 passes for 222 yards and two interceptions. Three consecutive weeks now that Thursday Night Football has been a joke.
And Christian Ponder is horrendous as a professional quarterback. I mean,
Of course, and Gabbert.
222. Man. Gabbert dreamed about 222.
Yeah.
I grew up a Viking fan, so it was the only chance I had to watch him live this year. And I want to watch Teddy. I got Ponder and I turned it.
But keep in mind, obviously, he was third string. They didn't want Christian Ponder to play. And in a lot of cities, he wouldn't have even made the final roster, but they opted to go with three quarterbacks there because they probably felt like he might have some value at some point. I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe they thought they could flip Castle to a team that needed a veteran quarterback if Bridgewater got in there. But with Castle being out for the year, the idea that Teddy was going to play this week, how there could be any mystery. He didn't practice. It's a short week. You got a sloppy field, which, by the way, looked like it got better as the night went on, the weather conditions last night. It seemed like Aaron Rodgers threw for about 500 yards last night. He threw for a 156. You know, did it in three quarters, hit the one. Jordy Nelson caught one pass.
60.
Minnesota, I'm not saying that's who you should strive to be, but that's about how they look when they're running against the Jaguars secondary, too. Jordy Nelson was in isolation out there with one defender about 6 yards away from him as Aaron Rodgers dropped it right in his lap last night. But, yeah, Thursday Night Football has been miserable in terms of the quality of play for the most part this year. What are you thinking of over there?
I was thinking of how the Thursday night game stunk.
Is it just because short week, lack of preparation? I mean, is it that big a deal, or is it just we've gotten some bad matchups and that have gotten out of hand?
Well, they're supposed to be, you know, they're division games, so usually, you know, those are relatively competitive. The Giants proved last week had nothing to do with a road team. You know, they went to Washington and whooped them, so whooped the Redskins. So it's, I mean, it's, I mean, I think the best way to do this, and I've said this, is you keep it at 16 games and make it an 18-week schedule. And these teams playing on that Thursday get that mini bye to make it
beforehand?
Beforehand.
So you'd have like basically a week and a half and then a week and a half coming back.
Yeah, and then you get in later in the year or before you get your regular bye, which is the full thing.
Sorry, I don't think you've considered the fantasy football implications of a double bye system.
Oh, really?
Brian.
Well, there would be.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
there would be implications.
I mean, last week people called it Bye-mageddon because six teams were out last week in week four and people were freaking out. You'd have teams practically on a bye every week again in the NFL if you're doing that. Right? I mean,
well, I think what is except for. See, I would eliminate a week two Thursday night game then because I want everybody playing.
Everyone's got to play in week one.
And then they don't play week there isn't a week 17 Thursday game now.
Although the year when they added Cleveland back in the league, right? Yeah, you had an odd number. Yeah, San Diego?
Somebody had a week one. Somebody had a week 16.
Didn't have the opening 17. Week matchup. It is, you know, they talk about the NFL being a week to week league. Look at these results that we've seen. We saw 56-14. Atlanta crushes Tampa, right? Tampa goes to Pittsburgh and wins. Minnesota goes all up and down the field, albeit with Teddy Bridgewater, but still went all up and down the field on Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Green Bay throttles the same Minnesota team 42-10 by, you know, the transitive property. Green Bay would beat the Pittsburgh Steelers by 1,000 points or something like that. It's just crazy, though, week to week.
That's what makes this team more disappointing then.
Right, because if the Bucs can be that bad one week, you don't ever want to be that bad, but if you can come back and win on the road the very next week, I just don't, it's hard to fathom, is Mike Glennon that much better than what's going on with Blake Bortles?
Yeah.
What was
Check your phone.
Check my phone. Well, thank you very much. I will do that coming up. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, joining us here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I got carried away, Lee. How you doing, buddy?
It happens sometimes. I caught the first part of your conversation talking about O.J. Simpson. He lived about 5 minutes away from me before he got locked up, and I used to run into him and my wife and kids all the time. So quite a sociopath.
Right, you used to run into him in what regard?
Well, probably the funniest story, two funny stories. One time my wife is out with some friends of hers at a happy hour, and he tries to pick my wife up, and she's the wrong person to try to pick up. She takes it a little personal. And then one day she's at a bank with my daughter, who at the time was about 4 or 5 years old, and she's holding her football card. She decides she's going to buy football cards because she knows her dad played football. But, you know, I played at a low level. I played at a 1AA level. So she's looking through her football cards at a bank where my wife's making a deposit, and O.J. Simpson sees her looking through these cards, and he starts talking to her. He says, "Oh, did you know that I used to play football?" She's like, "Really?" And he says, "Yeah." He says, "I used to have a card. In fact, I'm in the Hall of Fame." And she looks at him. She goes, "You're probably not as good as my daddy, though."
There you go. So, way to shut him down.
And a few years later, I told my daughter what she just said. I said, "I have a feeling he's like light years better than your dad, honey." But that's my daughter. My daughter was feisty.
Well, maybe your daughter instilled a burning rage with inside rental James Simpson that he would later unleash.
This was afterwards.
Was it afterwards? All right.
Yeah. So he was around, but he was all over the place in Miami.
All right, Lee. Yep. Let's start out. Last week 3-0. Good week for you. Let's get into it this week. Yep. Dallas, the Cowboys, given 4 to the Houston Texans. What side are you on this week?
Well, I think Dallas has finally figured out the way they're going to be successful is to run the football with DeMarco Murray. He's leading the league with 534 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns. Everyone talks about Houston being a great defense, but they are a bottom 10 rush defense. So if they can use the run to set up the pass, I think Dallas will be successful. And I still don't believe in Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't think he's the answer there. I'm going to take Dallas in this game. I think they win this game by double digits, 31-21.
Sunday Night Football, the Patriots coming off just being stunned on Monday Night Football against the Kansas City Chiefs. That offensive line having all kinds of problems. The Bengals coming off a bye week. Some people saying that Cincinnati team may be the best team in the NFL right now. Lee, how do you see that game playing out? The Pats are 2.5-point home favorites.
I think talent-wise they're probably the best team in the AFC, but you know, the NFL stands for not for long, and this is not a must game for Cincinnati, even though they're coming off the bye. I think New England, even though they are not what everyone thought they were, I think they're going to be able to regroup. Remember, they're 16-2 the last 18 home games. Also, Pats to cornerback Brandon Browner becomes eligible this week, so I think you're going to see him play more man-to-man coverage. We'll free an extra guy at certain times in the box and to stop or slow down the Cincinnati running game. I like New England. I think Tom Brady bounces back here. They win this game. This line, how about this, guys? New England opened as a 2.5-point favorite. Cincinnati is now a 2.5-point favorite just based on what happened last weekend in the New England game. So I think New England wins this game by touchdown, 27-20.
When was the last time New England was a home underdog?
I think it was like 14, 15 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com on the Garber Auto Mall hotline. Lee, Pittsburgh coming to Jacksonville. Yeah. You obviously heard us talking about what a week-to-week league this is, yet the Jags have not gotten in on that action yet. They've been consistently giving up double-digit victories to their opponents. Pittsburgh, a 6.5-point favorite on the road. Steelers bounce back after their loss at home to Tampa, or to the Jags surprise this week?
I think it's going to be tough for Jacksonville. You know, the light eventually is going to come on. You know, case in point, look at the Dallas offensive line. 2 years ago, I thought they were the worst offensive line in the NFL. Now they're one of the top 5 best. So it's just going to take some time. I don't think Toby Gerhart is the answer. But the offensive line just going to, you know, they need to play together. They need to move the pocket some for Blake Bortles. They're going to have to try some gadget plays once in a while. Just to get ahead and then maybe hold the lead. But I just think that the wide receivers still are not there yet, and They're not on the page, same page, but the power running game here for the Steelers might be the difference with Bell and Blount. And Roethlisberger, people think he's down, but he has 5 touchdowns and no interceptions the last 2 games. I like Pittsburgh here. I think they pull away late 32-14.
All right, Dallas lay the 4 against Houston. New England, you like now getting, I guess, 2.5, right, from Cincinnati.
Correct.
And Pittsburgh lay the 6.5 as well. By the way, Cincinnati has climbed to an 8-1 8-1 betting line, I guess, to win the Super Bowl, which is the third best odds or the third worst odds, depending on your perspective. If you're a gambler, you want those longer odds to come through. But 8-1 now, as people are starting to bet them up in Vegas to win the Super Bowl. Your game of the week, New Orleans, -10.5 versus Tampa Bay. How can folks get that?
Just call me here at the office, 800-400-9741. First 5 callers will get New Orleans and Tampa Bay for free. And if you'd like to get involved with Paramount Sports a bunch of different ways, follow me on Twitter. I tweet out a free selection each and every week, and we're 5-0 in those selections. Just follow me at Paramount Sports. I'm in the red polo shirt. That's me. And we'll email you a free selection each and every Friday afternoon. And then if you'd like to come aboard and get my phone service, go to ParamountSports.com and get the rest of October for just $297. Use coupon code SAVE100. So 2 ways to win this weekend, ParamountSports.com or 800-400-9741.
All right, Lee, have another terrific week. We appreciate you, brother, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, there he goes, Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, 800-400-9741. If you go to ParamountSports.com, use promo code SAVE100 to get the 100 bucks knocked off the rest of October on the Garber Auto Mall hotline. That's Lee Sterling for Paramount Sports. Coming back, we'll get some of Ryan's keys to victory. If the Jags are to pull the upset, what are the areas you're going to have to focus in on? That's next on A Call Nolan Cadillac Friday here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, what do we got here? George Strait, it just comes natural. Natural, easy, basic. Just do your job. Get a victory. Let's be competitive.
How about an easy win on Sunday? Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be nice.
Any win?
Can you predict that, Tony?
Over there, O'Halloran.
Easy win.
Hey, look. Funny things happen in the NFL. I say that.
3 points?
Any victory.
Easy enough.
Yeah. If you're up 10 and they tack on a touchdown under the last 20 seconds,
or
that would be an easy victory.
Or 20-yard field goal, we'll take that.
That'd be an easy one.
Yeah.
I'd take that.
Ben Roethlisberger piling up the garbage time stats.
I'd take that as well. for other reasons.
Maybe he's going to throw like 4 picks.
Maybe he will. And they'll all easily be taken back to the house.
Naturally.
By this ball-hawking secondary. The
there
Jacksonville Jaguars. It all turns around.
You never know.
How did you feel? Seriously, at 0-8 last year, coming off the loss to San Francisco, and I get it, different teams, different circumstances, different matchups. Were you like, this team might not win a game, or did you feel that they were close? That game didn't indicate that they were close, the San Fran game in London.
No, and neither did the game before that against San Diego here. I thought at 0-8, I thought they would win 2. Because it's very difficult to just go and win 1.
It is, but they were giving it a run, weren't they?
You know, you look at their schedule, they still had, you know, Houston was already in the toilet. Tennessee was struggling. Cleveland was in disarray. So, and they end up beating those teams.
Right.
So I was surprised at 4. I thought it'd be 2.
If you were to predict when the first victory comes, again, assuming it's very difficult to not win any, I think next week is a great opportunity.
Yes.
I think that's the most likely spot.
You know, and for me to pick the Jags beat Tennessee, I want to see them have a pulse on Sunday.
Right.
You know, yeah, but if they get blown up again.
Tennessee, though, I mean, Locker had a good first game of the year, and since then...
Tennessee stinks, too.
Yeah, they're pretty bad, right? So I think you can certainly go in there, and it'll be interesting. I remember Delanie Walker's reaction last year.
That's great.
You know, just how we're embarrassed to lose to that team. Hey, buddy, you are that team, mm-hmm. okay?
They were becoming that team.
You're becoming that team. You just lost at home to that team. So don't look now. It might happen again in the span of just a few more days. If the Jags are to win, all right, easy or not, whatever. What's the number one thing, the number one key you'll be looking at here?
Got to get turnovers. We talked about it earlier in the show. They had three takeaways in the first half against Philly, week one. Nonsense. This offense generally isn't going to drive the length of the field, 75, 80 yards. If they can create the sudden change, give this Jaguars offense some short fields, some touchdowns. That's number one. Number two is at least limit Antonio Brown to 100 yards. Don't let him go for 220. So
just don't let him run wild. Yes. You know, make him earn it. If it's an 8 or 9 catch for a 100-yard day, you can live with that
yes.
all day.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I could live with what Keenan Allen did last week. He had 10 catches for 135. Number one wide receivers in the NFL have those games quite frequently because that's the nature of the NFL yeah. right now.
In the sort of piggyback off that, don't let other people get 100 yards receiving.
That's the thing. It's yeah. You can go 10 for 135 with your number one guy. You can't let the number three guy hit 240-yard touchdowns on. You can't let Marcus Wheaton go crazy.
Yeah, so that's my second one is limit the explosive. This team has given up 71 plays of 10 yards or more in 4 games. It's a lot.
How does that compare to the rest of the league?
Well,
you know the numbers?
It compares to the Jaguars just the most in team history through 4 games.
Had 6 of 20 or more yeah. last week, which is a huge number.
Yeah. So, and then also on offense is at least run it a little bit. You know, give Gerhardt some, see if Toby can get it going a little bit instead of some other things.
Run it a little bit in regards to
better.
Right. But I get what you're saying. When you say run, be successful running the football a little bit. But because you think that's a necessary part of the game plan, or will that be a reflection that maybe the passing game is starting to loosen things up?
Well, I think a big thing when I say that is to keep the ball, keep Pittsburgh's offense off the field, put together. I mean, obviously you want if they're an 80-yard touchdown there, take it.
Sure.
But you know, stay on schedule a little bit and sort of drive down the field.
Well, yeah, and if you're going to complete 78.4% of your passes, you're doing a pretty good job of keeping the clock moving mm-hmm. as well. How do you expect this Blake Bortles starting debut at home? This is going to be a very good crowd in here. Sure, there'll be some Steeler fans, but they'll be dwarfed, I think, by the amount of Jaguar fans looking to see the home starting debut of Blake Bortles. What are you expecting this week?
I expect a good performance. I mean, you know, nothing's really fazed him. He came into a 30-0 game. You know, didn't try to do too much. He wasn't impacted by a road game in San Diego. So I think he'll be better this week. I think he realizes he has to clean some things up, and I think he'll be accurate.
Earlier, I asked you about Justin Blackman. You still think it's the furthest of long shots that'll ever suit up here in Jacksonville again. Cecil Shorts, is he put himself in a position now? What kind of lowball contract would it take for the Jags to be willing to invest in this guy with his now growing history of injury?
Well, with each new injury, the Jaguars, first of all, the Jaguars have to decide, do they even want him back?
But let's, that's what I'm saying,
yeah,
right?
Let's say they do. With each injury, it makes it more legitimate that they can just offer him a 2-year minimum deal or a 1-year minimum deal, because at the beginning of the season, there was going to be one team that would have given him more than that over a 2 or 3 year contract. I wouldn't do it if I was another team. You don't know what you're getting. So I think if it sounds weird, but with each injury, the possibility grows that he's still here.
Because the market is yes. shrinking for him elsewhere.
And his camp will come back to the Jags and say, hey, can we sign a 1-year deal?
Right. Let me stay healthy, prove it. Kind of opportunity. Yeah. And you know what? That would be fantastic for Jacksonville in that scenario. Then you got a highly motivated player in another contract.
Yeah,
year.
And if he has a great 2015, the Jags will say, hey, you've earned this. Here's a new deal.
And by the way, just to be clear, I don't doubt that Cecil Shorts is highly motivated. I mean, there's no, it's not Cecil Shorts' fault. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't think he's not preparing. I don't think he's not stretching. You know what I mean? He's doing, I'm sure, everything the training staff is telling him to, the medical people are telling him to. He's trying to be as conscientious as possible, and this keeps happening. And then you go out there, and he tries to tough it out on a play. And obviously, as he reflected, that was the wrong way to go about it because it ended up costing Blake Bortles an interception.
Now, what he should have said is, in the huddle, say, hey.
Don't come my way.
Don't
right.
come my way. I'll run my route.
I'll run my route. Let me test it out, but yeah. don't I can't drive off.
And it looks like, on that play, it looked like Blake was going the other way first, and then came back to Cecil's side. So.
But if at that point you just got it, you can't say I'm going to run my route and take. You know what I mean? Yeah. Go to the sideline and go run it out and see if you can drive off of that leg. But Marquise Lee, still waiting, right?
He may be one of those guys where you're waiting a long time. You know, if it's not, he could come back next week and then it'll be something else. He'll come back in 3 weeks and then he'll flare up something else. So, you know, it's he's definitely in show me mode.
Who emerges out of the two Allens, Hearns and Robinson, as the preferred? Let's say it's a month, and I think that might happen where we don't see Cecil. I don't know when Marquise Lee is going to be back. Like you say, he could be back next week, but. Over the next month, which one of those two emerges as a more frequent target of Blake Bortles?
I think Robinson does because of the stuff they have him running. I mean, Allen Robinson is more of the worker bee. He's going to catch some of the quick stuff. He's going to catch some of the underneath stuff. Whereas Allen Hearns is, 18-yard out, 9-route down the field. So I think they complement each other. I think Allen Robinson, for that reason, will have more catches. Allen Hearns may have more yards.
Who touches it more out of the backfield, Gerhardt or Robinson this week?
I think they give it to Denard more.
Do you?
Yeah. Denard more carries, and I think Toby has a couple catches.
They need, regardless of who's in there, I think they need to throw to each of those guys mm-hmm. more. Whoever the tailback is, I think they need to use that a little bit more. As an outlet as well. There is, I wouldn't say clamoring, but there's a small school out there. Hey, we need more Denard. We need more explosive plays. Denard averaged fewer yards per carry last week than Toby Gerhardt did.
Yeah, I mean, Denard's one of those guys where it's almost like the more he touches it, the maybe worse off you are. I mean, I think he might be better in short doses. Yeah, I don't think he can be a 25-20 carry guy.
Right.
You know, so if he's used in spots, maybe he can be more effective than if you're going to rely upon him. I mean, and if they're going to go with those two guys, why not throw Storm in there too?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of folks would love to see Storm Johnson get some touches this week. All right, heading out to practice?
Yep.
All right, what do you got coming up over the next couple of days in the Florida Times Union?
For Sunday, we got the sort of our takeout pieces on the defense and gave him a whole bunch of stats about through four games. This is the worst ever in a lot of different categories. And also how this defense was built. Not a lot of draft picks, so a team by team on that. And then the other story is about Blake Bortles, Dick LeBeau's success against rookie quarterback 17-2 since he came back to Pittsburgh.
You got something to drink there?
I'm going to need it.
Lagerman. Just wanted to throw one. I don't think I got it in. I don't think I got it in today. So I just wanted to make him drink just once.
I don't know what that bit was a lot funnier when it didn't make the air.
I know, but now I love it, and I love the fact that it bugs you guys. I don't know if it bugs you really or not, but you're certainly aware of.
Well, it's a long season. You want to beat something like a cheap drum.
There's plenty of that going around. All right, Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union. Follow him on Twitter, as you probably already do, but in case you don't, at Ryan O'Halloran for all the latest news on your Jacksonville Jaguars. Fat Tony, I'll come back, and we'll take a look at the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight today, asking you for your keys to victory for the Jags against the Steelers. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Pure Prairie League. I heard that somebody did this a bar in St. Augustine once. It was one of the best live performances on an acoustic guitar I'd ever heard.
This is one of the best songs of all time.
It's a great song.
Oh,
really,
I love this song.
It's really a great song.
I'm just so glad it fits my theme so I can play.
Does this fit because of pure?
Pure, yeah.
Simple, pure,
exactly.
Natural. Oh, natural. Everybody show up naked on Sunday.
If Blake plays pure quarterbacking.
Bare naked ladies.
We'll be good to go.
Right.
You're going a little awry with my theme.
Oh, I just taken it to its next logical step, Tony. That's where I thought this was all headed.
By the way, David Garrard, when he says naked, he definitely says naked.
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 Naked boot.
Naked
David's
boot,
got
right.
A little redneck in him, too, now. Kidding me? Naked boot.
Love
That's
it.
When you're in the South, he's a North Carolina boy. When you're in the South, sometimes you say naked. That's just the way
sometimes
it's going to be.
Sometimes you do. Usually naked implies that you're getting yourself in trouble. That's what I've always been told.
We got naked.
Yeah, naked is bad.
Naked if it's appropriate, naked if it's not.
Correct.
That's I think.
I don't know, bad. Maybe naughty might be. implication. Whatever, man.
Yeah, sure.
You want to get naked, naked? I don't care.
I don't know that I want to see David on a naked boot. That's what I'm saying.
I don't want to see necessarily any of these people, but you know what?
We'll have to ask him how he says bare naked ladies to see if he says bare naked.
Do what you want. I did not grow up in a household that was uptight about nakedness. All right.
Are you saying that you walked around without clothes on a lot?
You still do. Okay.
Poor Colin.
What? Honestly, it's not like I like go.
Are you like go in the fridge?
I don't sit around the house all day like that necessarily. But if I get out of the shower and I want to walk and while I'm toweling off and go get, I'm not. What?
My towel on or towel off?
Seen me? My sure. Son? Why? Don't be ashamed of your body. You know why? Seriously, that's a good thing to teach your kids, man. Why you gotta
that's
be
true.
Ashamed of your body? I'm not like, you know.
I just picture you like
anybody.
Leaning over the refrigerator, pulling out like celery or something, and you know, not having
any
clothes
on. Squat down. Come on, I'm not uncouth.
Just curious. All right, we've gone completely derailed.
You thought the theme today. It's not my fault.
It was easy, natural, pure.
Oh yeah, right. Like
so
me.
Much for pure.
Like me, fresh as a daisy. All right. Today, Tony,
yes.
The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. This show has really been a one for the time capsule, I feel, today. We ask people, as we do every Friday, give us some keys to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Certainly plenty of snark included, but some serious ones as well. What you got?
Here's what we got from Paul. Hope LeBeau loses his car keys. Big Ben gets high ankle sprain in warm-ups, and Bortles throws 3 touchdowns. So 2 out of 3, snark. There to start things off from Punisher. A stop on first down, a stop on second down, and a stop on third down consistently. From at Irish Jaguar, cover, limit mistakes. Number 2, take advantage of their fragile secondary. And number 3, B2 Bomber. It's catching on.
Yeah.
Everybody. Ronald says, slow down the Steelers running game. Cover Antonio Brown. Challenge the Steelers suspect corners. From Christoph, we got cover. Run the ball to keep Big Ben off the field. Give time to B2 Bomber to make smart throws. From Duval, we got Ben's arms fall off. Ben's leg falls off. Brown gets lost in the airport. Hashtag optimism there from Duval. From Eric, we got protect Blake, cover Antonio Brown with a blanket or two. And 3, dump in river, whatever that
means. What does that mean, right? Does that mean... What does that mean? I don't want to say what I think that means, but we're talking about dump what? The Steelers in the river?
I really don't know.
Dump what in the river? Dump our secondary in the river?
From Black Dog Express, his 3 keys, make Pittsburgh punt, let B2 bomb, and make them chase ace. Hashtag shock the world.
All right, I like that. Some interesting little angles there. Anything else of note?
That's what I got on Twitter.
All right, by the way, the one about getting lost in the airport, I said, yeah, we need a bigger airport.
That's right.
Okay. The ABC thing is not going to confuse too many. Although, you know, he does come from Pittsburgh, where it was noted that Terry Bradshaw couldn't spell cat if you spotted him in the C and the A. So that's one. Who said that about Terry Bradshaw?
It was one of the Cowboys.
Damn, that was a good line, man.
I can't remember who.
Terry Bradshaw is so dumb. How dumb is he? Adrian Carter said, here's what you need, keys to victory on Facebook. Force turnovers, big plays on offense, tackle from Eric Wagner, play defense, win the battle at the line of scrimmage, control the damn clock. Hashtag Jaguars today. Josh Richburg, he's right down the line with O'Hallen. Create turnovers on D. Take advantage on offense and score. Do your job and make a play. Don Enfuego, let Bortles be Bortles. Slow the killer bees. Big Ben, Brown, Bell, and Blunt. And don't let the role players beat you and win the turnover battle as well. Hashtag Jaguars today. Kurt Carmack, can the defense contain the run? Can the defense contain the pass? Can the defense create a turnover? BB5 can't do it alone. Go Jags. I concur. Go Jags.
It was Thomas Hollywood Henderson, by the way.
It's Hollywood Henderson.
Before Super Bowl 13.
Did it. Was he coked up at the time, or was that later?
Hard
to say with Hollywood Henderson.
It's tough. The timeline there is blurry.
I think you probably have a good chance to say yes with Hollywood Henderson. But it was more freewheeling league back then, Tony.
Yes, it was.
Right? We always frown on those people who are those scofflaws who step out.
That's right.
In society. All right? Now, for you. You know, we look at the keys to victory. I think turnovers, you can say that every single week. But I think it is true with a team that is not sustaining a ton of drives, marching it down the field, and has given up way too many big plays. You got to do something to, you know, not have to work so hard, so to speak. You know, especially if you feel like, you know, let's be honest, if you went man for man with Pittsburgh, they're not a world beater. You're going to take more guys on the Steelers right now than you are on the Jaguars if you're picking man for man.
No, you are. And Le'Veon Bell has been so good this season as both a rusher and, more importantly, as a receiver out of the backfield for this Pittsburgh team. And that is something that the Jags have struggled with to this. I mean, what haven't they struggled with on defense? But really, those flat areas have been an area of concern. They're not covering those parts of the field. So can they limit Le'Veon Bell? And I honestly think that Ben Roethlisberger, his playmaking ability comes from his ability to extend plays. And that means that he's going to hold the ball longer than quarterbacks usually do against this Jaguar team. If you go back and watch last week's game, the front four was close a lot to Phillip Rivers. So can they turn a couple of those close plays to Ben Roethlisberger on the ground? When you get to him, you got to get him to the ground, but I think there are going to be opportunities for this team to get, you know, 4 or 5 sacks in this game.
Easier said than done, though, because even if you get to him, he's got maybe one of the best, you know, skill sets in terms of just pure size and strength of shaking off those hits. And unlike Rivers, he's not going to sit there still the whole time.
No.
Right? Maybe you get close, and then he's going to pop out and move the pocket, whereas Phillip Rivers needs to get rid of the ball a little bit faster. I agree with you, though. It's late in the play on third down that is the killer, right? Andrew Luck just moving the pocket, looking, and then eventually finding somebody apparently, you know, 4 yards wide open on third down.
And
can't
I think
give them those easy ones.
They got close last week. I think, again, with Ben's tendency to hold the ball a little bit longer than most quarterbacks do, you're going to have opportunities to get him. And when you have those opportunities, you have to take advantage of it. So maybe you create a turnover or something doing that. When you get to them, get the ball on the ground once or twice in this game, like they did against Philadelphia in week one, because the offense, I do feel like, is good enough to take advantage of those opportunities and good enough to create their own scoring opportunities now with Blake Bortles in at quarterback. So for me, the key is you got to slow down Bell. You got it. When you get to Roethlisberger, you got to get him to the ground. Hopefully, create a turnover or two doing it. And the offense hold up its end of the bargain for two halves instead of one.
And how about start fast, right? I thought they started fine last week for even with the fumble. Just the way the first half went, they traded punches with San Diego, and they didn't. It wasn't like we're just going to let you push us around, but this is going to be a high-energy crowd this week. This is the most tickets they've sold for a home game in a couple of seasons. And
Steelers week, man. There's a buzz.
Look, there are going to be a lot of Steeler fans there, but not nearly as many as there will be Jaguar fans. And so seize that opportunity. These folks are so hungry for some success. They're so hungry to see Blake Bortles, you know, fulfill that potential as the future of the franchise. And this is the first time you know he's going to play at home. You hoped he would play at home a couple weeks ago. You couldn't know for sure. You know that he's going to be starting this game. And, you know, it's a new milestone. First home start for him. Get the ball, drive it down the field, stick 7 on the board. Let this crowd get into it and help you out.
Absolutely.
You know, look, they've only had one home game, so it's not like they've had many opportunities, but how can you blame anybody when it's 30-0 at the half if people are saying, I'm going to beat the traffic and get the heck out of here? I know other people are saying, hey, you stay to the bitter end, and obviously the ones who stayed were rewarded by seeing Blake's
and
debut.
And I'm sure a lot of the people who left at 30-0 got in their car, turned on the radio, and were like,
damn!
Oh my gosh, they put him in!
They put him in! I can't believe they did.
They're not going to let me back in the building. They'd be so frustrated. But like you said, Mike, it's their first opportunity. They know Blake Bortles is the man going forward. And they did. They went toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the league last week for a half. And in the second half, it got away from them. And part of that was that the defense didn't hold up its end, and the offense didn't score. I mean, we haven't talked about it a whole lot this week, but the offense didn't put up a point in the second half against San Diego last week, and the game got, the deficit got wider and wider and wider, and there was nothing happening for the offensive side of the ball. This week, you have to get production in both halves from your offense if you're going to beat the Steelers.
And that's why I think it's a legitimate question about halftime adjustments, because what changed on the offense?
Sure.
Right? I mean, you're running the same guys out there. I don't think they're getting worn down in the second half. You know, what change that you're able to move the ball so effectively in half number one.
And a big play in special teams would be nice too.
That,
with the
we'll
return
take
of Ace.
Hey Ace, yeah. Come on back. We're willing. Look, and that's the thing. Ace screwed up. Ace has fallen on the sword. He has done it the right way. He seems genuinely contrite, wants to make amends and make it up to his teammates. By all accounts, he's a phenomenal locker room guy and all that. Hey, but for him, all that's great. Go make some plays in the return game now.
Oh, yeah.
Because they weren't there last year. Again, good rookie season with all the catches that he had. That's not where the Jags need the impact from him, I don't think. Although we may see him sprinkled in a little bit on offense. Keep in mind, first game back, too. I don't know how much of a workload you want to put in. I know Cecil Shorts had a heavy workload over the last couple weeks, particularly his first game back. And Clay Harbor played damn near every snap. So,
yeah.
You know what? If he can hold up, I guess get him in there if he's being effective. We'll see if they're able to get it done. We appreciate everybody for weighing in. I'll pick one or two of you later, and I'll get in touch with you via social media, and we'll give away some Jaguars Today t-shirts. Fly your flag, man. Where's that Jaguars Today gear out at game day? And stop by and say hello as we've got the full broadcast day coming up. I believe we got a Helmets and Heels replay to start the day. We'll have the Web.com Fantasy Forecast replay. We'll have Hacker and David Lamb taking you from 9 till 10 o'clock, and then the Publix's tailgate show from 10 until noon. Countdown to kickoff after that. J.P. Shadrick leading the way. I'll be on board with him, with Frank Frangi and Tony Buscelli, Jeff Lagerman, Pete Prisco, Rick Blue, you name it, Fred Taylor, all be there. Obviously the game broadcast, and then Freddie T. in studio with us on the post game.